This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network. Visit JabberjawMedia.com for more shows like this one.
Today's show is sponsored by Blue Apron. Go to BlueApron.com/BadChristian to get $30 off your first order.
Today's show is also sponsored by Hubble. Go to HubbleContacts.com to get your first 2 weeks of contact lenses for free.
You are now entering the Bad Christian Podcast.
Wait till Joey Svensson drops the beat.
Come on, you can do better than that. Bring it, like take it up a notch. Oh, shit! What? Holy smokes.
Okay.
Bad Christian Podcast. My God, Joey. I didn't think you would take it up a notch. You took it up four notches, my friend. He's still going. Look at him. I've never seen a man laying down and relaxing so much, lounging this much. Good God. If you aren't watching this, get to our feed on YouTube. Get to our feed on Facebook because it's unbelievable.
You guys are both probably on the keyed up side because you must have overdosed on Halloween candy. Is all I could figure.
Can you hear this noise? This is nerds that I'm about to eat.
I've eaten so many nerds. I ate so many nerds on Halloween.
Well, here's the thing about nerds that I've realized. Nerds, like every other candy, fun size, I always think it's lame, it's stupid, it's not fun size, it's not that good. Like, I don't want a tiny square of Milky Way. Give me a Milky Way candy bar. But nerds fun size is like perfect.
It's perfect.
It's like a mouthful of nerds. It's like, I don't have to carry the nerds around with me. Like, when I buy a big box of nerds, it's like I got to keep up with it and open which side do I choose? I want banana or do I want grape or cherry, whatever, you know? But, like, with a fun-size box, it's just the perfect. Like, it is the perfect. It actually is fun-size to me.
I cannot agree more. Hey,
do they even make the other two sizes of nerds? Do y'all remember you had the little square...
Yes.
The little cube prism deal with the two openings.
Yes.
And then you actually had the actual plastic nerd.
They do not make that. They haven't made that in 20 years. Like 30 years has been since they made those. But yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I have some related news on this that might be interesting. First of all, candy is literally my first thing I was ever into. I've been into a lot of things in my life. Candy.
It's your first love.
It really is my first love. I could talk about it for hours, but I love nerds because they're essentially like rock candy if you think about it, but then with the shit. Anyway, nerds are great. But I got a package in the mail the other day, and this is a dead true story. This is a heartwarming story, as a matter of fact. I'll see if you can get this right. Is there, Toby, have you heard me talk about candy a lot in my lifetime? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
So much.
Especially old candies from my childhood, right?
Yep.
I'll give you a couple chances, but can you name a candy from my childhood that I love that you've heard me talk about over the years that they don't make anymore? I won't even say it. Just see if this is true.
Huh. This might be tough for me. I don't know. Do they still make like bottle caps or something?
No, something that they don't make.
They don't make anymore.
That you've heard me lament that they don't exist.
I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank.
Would it sound familiar to talk about? I'll give you a hint. They made this candy. It was my favorite, and then they wound up coating them. They were coated.
Oh, yeah. What is that called?
And then discontinued.
The little cylindrical things.
That's right.
Yeah. What is that called? Shit, I don't remember
what
they're called.
Starts with a T. They're tarts.
Tiny tarts?
Tart and tinies.
Tart and tinies.
There you go.
I don't know candy as well as you, but yes.
You can see you've heard me talk about that a million times. Okay.
Yeah, and how disappointed you were. They used to be like more chalky, and then they did some kind of candy coating.
They wound up coating them, and they just made it worse and worse and worse, and then they discontinued them. Anyway, I got a package in the mail the other day. I just got this package. I looked at it, had the return address on it. It's JT Woodruff from Hawthorne Heights. It's an envelope. I opened the envelope, and there are four bags of Tartan Tinies made by the Leaf Company, and it says we're back. They started making them again. JT, who apparently has heard me talk about them before, which I haven't talked to JT in forever, and he found them, got my address, and mailed them to my house. Can you believe that?
That guy is amazing.
That's heartwarming
to
me. Like, I feel known. I feel loved. I feel spoken to. Like, he remembered, found that, saw them, got them, and did the step of mailing them. That is a good guy.
Do you want Bridget to learn from him?
I don't care.
That is amazing.
I don't care. I have JT now. I mean, that's it. I mean, I'm happy. I don't
if you haven't listened to Hawthorne Heights in a while, you need to listen to Hawthorne Heights. Free ads here. That is amazing. Yeah. JT's always been a good friend of ours. We've been friends with the Hawthorne Heights guys forever, but that is wild.
I mean, that's a real good
He saw that
thing.
And was like, I got to send these to Matt.
That's right. So I've had it.
Wait, now are they just as good?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't tell. I can't verify if they're exactly the same recipe or not, but it's really close, and I can't tell if my memory's off. So I'm going to reserve skepticism to say that the recipe's changed, but it's very close, and they were wonderful, and I appreciate them. And now I think I can order my own and get some more. So whenever I'm eating sugar, which I haven't been eating any sugar or carbs for a long time, I saved – it was super hard because he sent them to me. I put them in the cabinet, so I'm waiting till Halloween to eat these, and of course I did. And I did Halloween for – I celebrated Halloween for, you know, 3 days. But it is – always been my favorite holiday, but ate candy for 3 days, and I'm going to go back to not eating sugar anymore. But I consumed everything I wanted, and a lot of Tartan Tinies and a lot of Nerds were on my list.
Toby, what about you, man?
Well, here's the problem with me. So our kids went, and we trick-or-treated, and it was fun. And we can talk about that, too, just trick-or-treating in your neighborhood or not or whatever. And is it? I'll get to that in a minute. I had a lot of thoughts about Halloween, but I cannot stop going to the cabinet where we are keeping the candy. Like where the candy is, like after every meal I go and get at least one or two pieces, and we're doing this podcast right now and I've had like several pieces. I have a handful of candy. I was like, well, I gotta have candy, you know, like it's like the Jerry Seinfeld, they gotta get the candy, have the candy, do the candy, get the candy. Like I really do feel that way. Like I cannot stop, and it's frustrating to me because Matt loves candy more than me, but I'm way bigger than him. It's really frustrating. Like I'm almost, I feel like sometimes I'm twice your size as a human. And it's frustrating because like you can get candy and it's great. I get candy and it's like a fight. I got to stop myself from eating it. When did you get the candy? When did you get those Tiny Tots or Tartan Tinies?
About a week and a half ago.
You were able to not eat them until Halloween.
It was hard.
I couldn't have done that. Like I actually don't know if I could have done that. I would have told myself, well, just eat one or two or one pack or whatever like that. Like there's nothing there. And so like I wonder when there's candy around, Matt does love candy more than me, but I believe I eat more candy than you.
Well, that's a different thing.
Does that mean I love that's true. I know that's what I'm saying. Maybe I love it more than you? I just not as verbal or what? Like I've really been struggling lately because like today I had a burrito at lunch.
What are you suggesting that whoever binges the most uncontrollably on something is the person that must love it the most? That comes from a place of
maybe.
Love. is that what you're trying to say? That a sex addict happens to love sex more than other people, and alcoholics just think beer tastes better and they just love it.
Well, here's what I'm saying. If there wasn't a bad consequence, then you would think they loved it the most, right? Hold on, wait. You never in your life have said, "Oh my God, that guy reads all the time. Holy shit!"
Good point.
He reads nonstop. You go, "Well, gosh, that's awesome. He just reads all the time. That's so cool." Like, there's no bad consequence from reading. Mm-hmm. But candy or sex or alcohol, fuck that person. They are addicted. They're sad. We got to help them. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, right now, I mean, mine shows. I eat candy and it shows on my waist. It's awful.
Well, that's
it's really
how you define disorder, though, actually. I mean, that's the way you define disorder is that you continue
but what I'm
the behavior
is,
despite the negative unwanted consequences.
But hold on one second. Here's what I don't understand is if you love candy more than me, then, which I believe, it seems like you would eat more than me, but you actually physically or can't.
Does the clingy
and I physically can set aside passion and desire? He can set aside passion and desire. I think
listen
Matt may be AI.
Listen, does a clingy boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse who can't let their spouse out of their sight love them more than you love your wife? Is that really the issue there? No, I mean,
that's
don't
a good
use
point.
You and your wife. That's a bad
point.
Example. But does the clingiest person of all that can't possibly be away from the other person, is it love? No, it's disorder.
That's not
Yes, but Elon Musk can't stop looking for clean energy and fixing our batteries and all this stuff, and he's amazing.
Yeah,
Toby loves fucking candy,
but it's all about the consequences.
That's what I love. I got screwed. I got screwed in the things you love. I would kill to trade candy or eating or alcohol
for a thirst
or
for
sex
knowledge
or anything for reading.
Toby, it actually sounds like you just.
It actually sounds like you have sex with candy, how you said that.
I would if I could. It's unbelievable because I like it that much. That's what I'm saying. Here's why I don't like what Matt's saying is that it implies that I don't love it that much. Like it's a part of something I can't stop. It's a different issue than the candy. I'm telling you, I love chocolate. I love Smarties. I love Reese's. I love Tootsie Roll Pops. I love it all. I love it. The way it tastes. I love eating it. It's so amazing. Uh-huh. But you can't physically do as much as me.
No. Matt, I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but
sad.
Our friend Ben Huntington is listening to this podcast right now, and he is thinking to himself, are they going to bring up the infamous story of him going to bed and saying, hey, guys, my girlfriend dropped off some homemade fudge. Anybody can have some if you want. He wakes up the next morning, and it is all gone.
No, not all. There's like three fudges left.
He's just like, hey, who ate all? I was like, I think I tried it. I had a couple pieces. Derek's like, yeah, I had one. Toby's like,
it was all in my teeth.
It was up for grabs. I thought she said it was up for grabs, man.
I heard my friend Ben say, this fudge is up for grabs. That means there's a limit? Is that what that means? That's what I'm saying. Like you're telling me that when there's unlimited candy in my cabinets, that there's also a limit. So that's what I don't understand. Like, I love it. And is there a limit to your love for your family? Like, is that, I mean, like, nobody thinks, oh my God, he loves his family too much. Nobody thinks that, Matt. But with candy, it's bad. This guy's in trouble. With alcohol, with sex, with any of this other stuff, that person, oh my Lord. But that's what I'm saying. It's really frustrating. Like, I would love to not to have a limit, but it's just so fun. Like, I mean, today I've had at least 10 pieces of candy. At least 10. And that's not that much because it's all fun size or whatever. And I justify it by going, well, that's probably like two candy bars total or something, like full size or whatever. I justify it in my mind. But, I mean, I have to shut myself off from my love of candy because it's going to kill me maybe or something like that.
You are a man of passion.
I'd like to... I can't help it. It's going to kill me one day. I mean, who knows? But it's fun living this way. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's fun.
Maybe everybody else has it wrong.
That's right.
Like, would you rather die eating candy or what? Colon cancer.
You are the person I genuinely believe will hit some age limit and go, fuck it, it's on. Like, everybody makes that joke. I think you have a possibility of actually engaging turbo mode when you hit, let's say, age 75, whatever you want to name. I think it is possible.
Yeah, I've already decided.
I'll
77.
If I
make it 77, there is nothing I won't eat, drink,
meth,
consume,
I mean what?
Or steal or try to figure out what if
or
I
have
get
sex
mine.
With anything. Just it's all.
Oh,
it's all
Toby, gone. Toby, you're almost 2 years older than me, so I'm gonna say 75 for me, so we can enjoy life together. Yeah, I'm with you.
Hey, Joey, how about this? If I'm set on your, let's see, your birthday comes in August, you'll turn 70, and then on my birthday when I turn 77, if everybody's still alive and everything, we immediately divorce our wives.
Hopefully they'll
we
be
have
dead.
Sex.
Does that be better? I don't know.
No, I don't even care. I don't want them.
It would make us look
die. No, I don't want my wife to die. I just want her to divorce her.
I would rather my wife die.
I don't want her to be dead.
You don't want her to die. You just don't want her to be your wife anymore.
Yeah, I just don't want her to live with me or tell me what to do.
I'm opposite on that one, but go ahead.
So, Joey, we will immediately go have sex with anybody. I'm talking anybody. There isn't any person off limits.
Hey, you are forgetting something.
Any drug, any food, anything. Gambling.
We're 77.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
So you have to have your own limitations.
So you have to go to a nursing home to accomplish this, I'm presuming.
No, trust me. I mean, we'll have bionic bodies by then.
That's true.
It'll be unbelievable.
All right, guys. I'm going to tell you about Blue Apron here in the show today, and then we'll keep on with what we're talking about. Now, Blue Apron, by the way, has been our sponsor for a really long time, and I found out they're going to keep being a sponsor for a while in the future too, which means you guys like it. And you, of course, we know we like it because we've been eating Blue Apron, telling you about it for so long. But thank you to you guys for supporting the sponsors. I'm not going to give you a bunch of personal stories. I'm going to tell you facts about Blue Apron just in case you're still on the fence or haven't tried it yet. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients and building a community of home chefs. Sounds good, right? I'll tell you some more. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. The beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. The produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. This is all good stuff, people. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount that you need for each recipe, they're reducing food waste as well. So, you get it. This company cares about stuff that is good. Their food is good, and we all like it. There's some great stuff coming up. I mean, seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with caper butter pan sauce. I mean, they've got 30-minute meals of shrimp and pesto fettuccine with spinach, sweet pepper chicken with bok choy and rice. The stuff is good. And remember all that stuff I told you about, what makes it great, which is the stuff they care about a lot and their goals. It's a good company. And you can check out this week's menu and get $30 off your first order with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/badchristian. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/badchristian. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Hey, all right, let me tell you my other thing about Halloween. We're walking down the streets. Did y'all go down your street and trick-or-treat, or did y'all go to a neighborhood?
Dude, we live in a perfect neighborhood now.
We
just
out
walk
here,
out our door.
I don't know where it is nationally, but
Hold on, Matt. Did you just hear what Joey said?
No.
He actually does live in a perfect
neighborhood.
I mean, we joke around. Like we've always joked. He's got a mansion. He's always, Joey just with his own words said, man, I live in a perfect neighborhood now. All right, go ahead, Matt. What's your
I was going to say, we don't, out here, I don't know if it's just Seattle or whatever, but it's almost all this very, it's a very sterilized thing, this Halloween, between the costumes and all the other stuff. But the thing is, you just go to a downtown of Magnolia, like a little village, a downtown area in a certain neighborhood, and all the businesses open up, and they open the streets, and the kids go to all the businesses, and they have, you know. It's good. I mean, it's good and it's safe, but it's very sterilized.
You didn't even get to go to houses? Nobody goes to houses?
You don't really do houses that much. And all the candy, of course. The worst part about Halloween over the years is you used to get random candies. Like, who knows what you were going to get, and you'd have this giant store.
Right.
Now it's literally, you can name what's, like, I can name 15 things, and that's all anybody got. And it's the standard things that they sell at Target.
You're exactly right. Everybody buys in bulk because they know or whatever. And so, especially when you go to a store or something like that. That's what I was thinking. I was walking down the street of our neighborhood, and our neighborhood is really great too. But I was thinking, I was like, this isn't going to last, is it? It feels like it's going away. It's not yet, and people think it's kind of fun still. But the idea that, like, I wonder if my kid, like my grandkids, are they going to go trick-or-treating? I don't know if they will. It does feel like it's getting more and more sterile. Like, well, it's just this thing where everybody buys the same candy and gives it out. Is it really worth it? I mean, half the time, a lot of the houses just close the, turn off the porch light and hide
have
or
a big
whatever.
Bucket.
Yeah, yeah. Or, how about this? A bucket just sitting outside.
How about this for sterilization and comment on our culture? Georgia sings to me. She's been at school, whatever. She starts singing the old tune. She says, "Trick or treat, smell my feet." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool. They still got you. Still know you know that song." I didn't teach it to her. She knows. She picked up at school. Georgia says, "Trick or treat, smell my feet. Give me something good to eat. If you don't, I don't care. Then what?
I'll pull down your underwear."
No, my friend. She says, "I'll do a dance in my underwear."
You're kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, you're not going to do an assault. We don't need assault in that language. And so I tried to tell her, I'll pull down your underwear.
Your lingerie.
She's, no, no, no. Yep, that's right. What are you going to do? Pull the old lady's skirt down and rip her underwear down? How savage is that? I mean, our culture is moving. Yeah. So it's even that. But I think that brings up the other point, though. If you had to change that lyric because you thought that was violence or assault to pull down somebody's underwear, as if there's any possibility that that would be something that anybody would ever act upon in any way, and that kids don't know that that's a joke that they think is hilarious because it's obviously facetious, which I assure you kids know. But even if you thought that there were teenagers or adults or anybody out there that would take that message seriously, and because of that song, pull down another human's underwear, you change the song to, "I'll do a dance in my underwear." And I might suggest that would still be pretty weird. Like, that'd still at least be sexual harassment. Yeah. Like, somebody does something you don't like, and your revenge of them is take all your clothes off except for your underwear and do a strip dance for them. Like, clearly that would still be sexual harassment, at least. So you didn't really clean it up very, very much if you were thinking about people taking it literally, which obviously nobody has ever done. It's never happened. You would seen it on the news. You know, 57-year-old lady named Florence de-pantsed on her front lawn for running out of Smarties. Not, it's never happened once. Why do we have to change that lyric?
I agree. It's everybody's scared. You have to. That's what you're right. It's becoming a very just clean, no ideas, nothing society. Everything's the same, and that's it. You get the same candy, same costumes. That's what it is, and eventually it just won't be fun. And that's when that actually is
especially
where the real
with the costumes when you can't
happen.
Wear any costumes. Now here's the thing: I heard all the rules about
the
costumes.
Same costume.
Well, I heard all the rules. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do this. And let me tell you what: I saw a shitload of fucking racist kids out there. Horrible, horrible racists. Yeah. I saw so many of those kids,
sons
and
of
I was
bitches.
I was very, very upset at how many racist children I saw. But there was a lot. It's a big problem.
It's huge. It's a huge problem.
It's a huge problem. I mean, hey. They deserve no mercy.
Oh my God, no!
All the things they were
bastards.
Dressed up at was horrific.
Little sick bastards. Right. But I mean, is it? That's what I'm saying though. Is that going away? Is it a? I mean, I don't even know if I necessarily care. Like getting candy for me when I was a kid was really important. I know it is for my kids. Like they think it's awesome. They really do. Like our three kids were just like, man, this is so cool. And we kept trying to make them say thank you. And then I was like, I just feel stupid trying to make them say thank you. They're just here trying to get the candy. And they have to say thank you every single time. And we're really pushing it. But I was like, maybe we shouldn't. Is it that? I mean, all they can think about is the candy. And we've set them up for this whole thing. And now they have to be super polite. But they don't even mean it. Even if they say it, they don't mean it. And it just felt like this whole thing. And so I saw all these other people and it just didn't even feel that great. Like I wanted it to be like, oh, I'm in my neighborhood, I'm meeting people, there's community, and it just felt like a thing that we all were doing that doesn't necessarily even exist anymore. I know that sounds weird.
Well,
and sad,
again, it's called trick
or
treating.
It felt like it mattered. Like in Seattle, you don't even do it. Like you go to some business and they give you some candy. So what? So you buy a latte there or something?
That's right.
I don't
get
know.
A business card out from the real estate place. But I mean, it's called trick or treat. By the way, the whole idea implies. Give me something or I'm going to do something bad to you. That's the name of the activity. I mean, of course, I didn't even know. Was there a time previously where it was even like that? Or, I mean, think about all the stuff when we were kids that contained violence. Like, the idea of I'm going to blow up the school or draw a bazooka or, like, it wasn't, like, I'm kind of lost on that. Like, did we not all know that that was clowning around? Do you know what I mean? We had to sterilize all that stuff. You can't speak of violence.
I agree.
You can't joke about it, you know, like that doesn't.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me about it is
pranks.
Everything about the universe for a human is dangerous.
Right.
But
sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. I'm fired up on
that. That's what I'm saying. Like, isn't it okay that things are dangerous? Like that doesn't necessarily mean that it's just pure evil or awful or we got to put it into it. I agree. I want to keep my kids safe. I want to keep people safe. I want people to stay alive and all that stuff. But, like, I can't believe we're so shocked and appalled by danger. That's just should be the norm. There's a little bit of that. It's like I can remember when I was in high school, and this is way back in the early 90s, and somebody called in a bomb threat from across the street at Community Cash, right? Mm-hmm. And they all got everybody out until they swept the whole building. They didn't even send us home. There was supposedly a bomb in the building, and it was just ended up being a student that was pissed off about something or whatever. And I was like, man, this is wild and so cool and crazy and that you can do this. And nobody really thinks it and all this stuff. And of course, now after terrorism and bombs and all this stuff,
school
I get
shootings,
it.
Yeah.
We're more sensitive and all that stuff. But like the idea of like, everything has to be taken away that is not deemed unsafe just feels so bland and uninteresting. And what you're going to see from that bland stuff, like taking, like the idea that we lose Halloween and it's just not interesting or fun anymore means that something else will happen that is actually subversive.
Yes.
Like church has been super scared that Halloween's the evil thing and it's really bad. No, if you take that stuff away, the simple, easy things that are supposedly scary but not, something really bad scary is going to happen.
I completely agree. And I'm joking around about some of the stuff, but that is genuinely true that there are being a kid, raising children, the whole point of almost everything is to practice for the world, which is hard and dangerous and scary and offensive. That is the point of childhood, is that you play games about things like violence or trick-or-treat or whatever. You're playing around with the idea that there is danger and learning how to navigate it. It's the whole thing. I mean, you have bad dreams about monsters. That's probably largely figurative, but it's something you have to learn to deal with, not avoid until, what? I mean, if you had some solution where we could make society perfect, good, fine. But since we're not close to that, children need to be playing is how you prepare. Like, that's how you prepare.
I agree.
They just need more danger. Like, I think it's just insane to try to overprotect your kids. It's insane. I mean,
have y'all seen the warnings about people passing out marijuana-laced candy, and which I think is just hilarious, because who is going to give up their edibles?
That's not even true. Of course.
Who's going to give those up?
That's what they said when I was a kid. They said there were these stickers with LSD on them. So you would take LSD or acid. If you lick the sticker, it would have acid on it. And it was this crazy, wild thing. And now, in retrospect, you're exactly right, Joey. Who would waste their drugs on giving it to a kid?
The drug dealers, to get them hooked so they come back. It's nonsense, but that's what they would say.
I know, when you're 8 years old, you don't all of a sudden have a shitload of money spending on LSD. That's not your demographic. That's not the crew that you need.
Well, let me ask y'all this, though. If your kid did get something hand-wrapped in their bag, like a cookie or something, would you let them eat it? I would chunk
that it. That is so funny you said that. There was a weird wrapper on it was like an eyeball Reese's cup. And I ate it instead. I was like, I'm not giving my kids it. I was going to throw it away. And I was like, well, I'll eat it because I believe it's not bad. But I was like, I'm not giving them this. So I took any ones of those I found. It was like a tinfoil wrapper. I was like, there could be a day. And I was like, I'm so stupid right now. Like, somebody would take the time to fill a syringe with an evil drug or bad, you know, whatever it is, and kill a kid through that or something like that. Like, you couldn't be found. Like, you couldn't. You know, we knew exactly the houses we went to.
Like, that's all of that stuff, like, you know, nobody's. What? Yeah, there's no MO for that. There's no motive. There's no people. There's not. Pedophiles have something they like or are trying to get. Serial killers do. Right. Terrorists do. You know, there's no people that just say, I like to sleep in peace knowing that I think there's children been harmed out there that I don't even get to see and know about. I mean, that's not 100%. That doesn't describe anybody.
Matt, you said this, it's been several episodes back, but like how often do you even get the Amber Alerts on your phone? And when you do, it's always like the dad took the kid because he's mad at the mom, or the mom took the kid. It's like almost always that. Like, I think almost like 95% or 99% that.
That's what
I don't. I don't think I've ever seen one where it was a stranger took somebody. Right.
Well, my point on that is just that you think about the amount of times you've worried about your kid being kidnapped. It doesn't happen. And I'm sorry to say that. I'm not saying don't worry about it. Don't protect your kid, but it doesn't happen. I mean, once every 3 months I get an Amber Alert. And even when that happens, again, yes, it's not some guy in some creepy van by the playground because you hadn't seen your kid in 9 seconds. That's not how that happens. If 100%. So, there would be a whole lot of Amber Alerts. You can leave your car running when you pump gas, by the way. When's the last time you saw the story of, you know, Ethel Stevenson died tragically when she left her car running in flames at a gas station? Trust me, you would hear the story. It ain't never happened. So you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, I know. But here's the point, too. But first, let me say this to everybody. All right, folks. I'm here to tell you about old Hubble contacts, and here is why. This is probably about 3 or 4 years ago. My contacts scratched my eye so badly that I was on tour and I couldn't even see, and I had forgotten my backup pair of glasses. So I would have to go on stage for about 3 or 4 days with just one contact in. So one eye I could see perfectly, the other eye is almost legally blind. I'm like -8.5, almost 9 or something like that. And it was horrible. And the reason why is because I wore my contacts too long. And I know you're not supposed to, but it's so expensive. And I was like, I'm just going to make this work just a few more days. And sure enough, it messed my eye up
terribly. So that's why I'm here to tell you about Hubble. Are you tired of also overpaying for uncomfortable contact lenses? And do you overwear your contact lenses to save money? Ding, 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 ding. That's me. What if I told you that you can get a fresh pair of lenses for every single day for less? 60 contacts for $30. Do the math. That's $1 a day. This is half the price of the other brands. So go to HubbleContacts.com and get your first 2 weeks free. Quality daily lenses for half the price of the other guys. Contacts are expensive. But because, and here's the reason why, four companies control 97% of the market. That's until now. Hubble sells directly to you so that they can offer contacts for half of the price. They send you to an optometrist if you don't have a prescription today, and getting contacts has never been more convenient and affordable. No more overpaying or overwearing, and they've been featured in Vogue, GQ, TechCrunch, Mashable, everywhere. These folks are legit. Hubble is awesome. So go to Hubble Contacts, that's H-U-B-B-L-E, HubbleContacts.com to get your first 2 weeks of lenses for free. That's 15 pairs of lenses for free. You really can't beat this deal. Hubble is offering our listeners 2 weeks of free contacts. So go to HubbleContacts.com to get 20/20 vision for half the price. HubbleContacts.com. If we just live in that fear and make everything just generic and bland, then I do believe something really bad will happen. Because like the idea of getting to play war when you're a kid, or dress up when you're a kid, or thinking crazy thoughts or whatever, like that actually levels you out a little bit, because you, like you said, Matt, you actually learn and figure out, like, well, you know, I don't really want to cause a war, I don't really want to shoot somebody or anything. But when everything's so bland, I think it actually leads to, well, people want to try something and feel something and do something, and it'll really get dangerous. I really remember the same way with the church. That's what happens within the church. The church.
Do
you
see kids wrestling and fighting anymore? No, they're not even hardly allowed to wrestle and fight. It's important that kids wrestle with each other and fight until one of them takes it too far, smack somebody in the face, somebody cries, and you go, whoa, that just got real. Do you want your kids to know about that or to not know about it? That's fine. That's how you learn what's limits, edges, how to negotiate stuff. I mean, that's how that works. Not don't let Timmy ever wrestle. I mean, this is crazy.
Well, it's the same thing. The idea, and this is what ends up happening, honestly, and this is what I was going to with the church and how things are bland. Like that's what I think men, why I started True Man Events and stuff, and why we are doing this podcast, and why we talk often negatively about the church system, is that's what it's trying to present, that God is clean and safe and not dangerous and a savior, and he will keep you away from all the bad stuff, and that everything will be okay
if you do it right.
And that's so uninteresting, and that's why everybody hides their shit and doesn't tell anybody anything, because we aren't really like that. Yep. We are a little bit crazy and do stuff that's wild. And so if we kind of acknowledge that a little bit more, maybe we wouldn't be pushed. Like, I really believe pastors oftentimes, because they have to live a bland, safe, clean, clear life, is half the reason or more why they end up doing bad shit, why they end up cheating on their spouse, or abusing a drug, or doing something bad, or, you know, being addicted to power, or whatever it might be. Because when you live in this bland lifestyle that's supposedly safe, and all the responsibility goes on this invisible guy in the sky, and none of it's on you necessarily, then it ends up causing you and leading you to try something or feel something, or it not being real. And so if we don't actually get to experience anything and show a little bit of the weirdness or craziness that is human, like, is that what we're saying? Like, an actual, the best human in the world doesn't ever fight or say a bad word or do anything negative and always helps and always, like, is that who anybody actually is?
Of course not. I mean, it's absurd. It's offensive. Normal. It's disrespectful. It's just nonsense. I mean, open yourself up to all kinds of. I mean, it's like as if the whole thing about God is his primary concern is your personal performance and morality. Like, even that, like, I'm not here to defend immoral behavior or brag about it or anything, but that notion is absurd. Like, it's if you get it right, then it's all going to be safe. That's goofy. That's just a goofy way to think about anything. I mean, if I go back to the playground thing, you know, I don't intervene in my kids on the playground. Like, other parents do, I understand. Like, if some other kid is doing something and to Georgia on the playground, I just let them sort it out. Way past the point where the other parent would be comfortable with, of course. But that's practice. That's good. And the church does, of course, the same thing. It's like, hey, brother, I need to intervene, coach you up, make sure you don't make this mistake, make sure this, as long as you stay safe, and this is why, and here's will be the outcome. It's treating people like kids. I mean, it's disrespectful.
Oh, totally.
It's not freedom, and it's not anything. And
the real danger, and the real danger I see that we have, and this goes for us three too, like I'm talking about me as well. It is so easy that all the bad stuff is external and I am the victim,
yes,
of it.
That's right.
Like that I really can't tell myself that and I see that I'm going to get in trouble, but I really see that. And when pastors fall, like we might as well talk about it. Okay, take for example Perry Noble. Like we've had him on the podcast, and then right after the podcast, on our podcast, I asked him, what's he struggling with? We're asking the cheesy question, and he didn't even say anything. And then literally weeks later, he says he struggled with alcohol and for a long time, and now he just came out. There's a new article out that he did exclusively on one of these Christian sites where it's the worst thing that's ever happened, but he's getting divorced, and it's really bad. And I'm just like, wait a minute. But that stuff is on Perry Noble. Like he's talking like he was molested when he was a kid. That is awful and horrible and terrible. Feel super bad about that. I can't even imagine what it's like to be molested or what it's like to live like that. He also struggles with alcohol abuse. I don't know if that's ongoing or he's been healed from that. And now his marriage is falling apart. All these bad things, but all these things have been there for a long time. Like, that's been inside of him, affecting him, doing all this stuff, and now it comes out, and so now he's saying these things, and everything sounds almost external in his comments and stuff like that, and it makes me really sad because I'm like, shit, some really fucked up things happened to this guy, and some of it is his responsibility, and I don't even know where to go with him. Like, it just sucks. Like, now it's such a crazy situation. Now his wife and him are getting divorced. They have a little girl. All this crazy shit. And I'm just left to go, shit, as Christians, this is normal. This guy's the normal thing, and we can't even get there. We can't even get to his normal without it being this terrible, bad thing that's happened to our Christian brother, and it's so bad, and we need to redeem him, and he needs to get back up and preach again, and we need to encourage it. Like, wait a minute. Life is fucked up. Let's stay in that for a minute. Let's experience it. Let's be present in that for a little bit, and not, I mean, otherwise it's just this thing that happened to you, and move on. And then that's why how we got here. And I'm not picking on Perry Noble here because I actually feel really bad. This is what really sucks. I feel really bad for that guy. His life has totally fallen apart, and it sucks. And I really do believe he's an amazing preacher. I think Mark Driscoll is an amazing preacher. I think Stephen Furtick is an amazing preacher. But there are some really crazy, wild things that is going on in their life. And we can't even stay there. We have to move on because God's good and he's going to heal us and he's going to make us stronger. And now he's not done with me yet. Wait a minute. Of course he's not. Let's just stay on. Don't not done with you yet. Don't move on to the next thing. Let's stay here for a minute. Some really crazy things happened that you caused and were caused to you. Let's be there in a minute because, man, I feel bad for you.
I want to
be able to mourn for Perry Noble. I want to be able to feel bad for him and sad and be there in a moment like as a human. And I don't even know if we get to do that.
Okay, so in the territory now? This is interesting. Are we in the territory of saying that the victimhood thing, or I'll tell you what, obviously such a thing exists as the victim card or victim culture, like people know what I'm talking about. Like you get to do more if by how much victim you are, whatever that is. I wonder if there's a more nuanced way to look at that versus that's just some tactic or power. Kevin Spacey would fall into that category, right? Like, something bad, got problems, but then announce yourself as you're gay. You're in a victim class, you're an oppressed person, and that should get you out of trouble for the thing that you are or something that happened to you, or he was drunk. I mean, it's excuses in a way, but what an excuse being a victim is. Now, is there a way to really sit at what you brought up to me and just saying that, I think I understand what you're feeling, is there a way to acknowledge and really mourn that victimhood that also you don't gain from it, Like that's a little salty of a thing to. I know it's unintentional sometimes, and also sometimes it's intentional, but that doesn't seem like the best path forward to make your victim status be the launching pad for your future gains. Really, like there's something weird there, right?
I agree, and also
but that doesn't diminish the victim part. Right. Like, oh my gosh, like, no, we're exactly. more tuned in ever that some people can be victims. Good. There's more. People like me used to not understand victimhood at all. Now I kind of do, but now that people are cluing into that, people are kind of abusing that a little bit. It's a little scary.
That's what really bothers me right now about here's a real thing that I see that could be very detrimental to ladies. So many people are coming out now and all at once to say, well, this guy did this or this guy did this, like the Harvey Weinstein and stuff like that, that inevitably there's going to be so much of a flood of, well, this guy did this, this guy did this, that's going to dilute it and make the people that are real victims of real crime, real molestation, real rape, it's going to dilute it to where everybody's not going to care. And that's the thing that I hate the most is that you're right, Matt, and that's what I'm saying. There's a real victim. Perry Noble is a victim. There are things that have happened. Yeah. Every single person on earth is a victim of something.
Yep.
So, but you're right. Like when we start turning victimhood into, we mobilize it and we weaponize it and we make it this thing that, oh, well, when I say this, it shuts this person down or, because I mean, like most of the time, somebody like, I mean, who knows? Okay, if this stuff about Kevin Spacey comes out to be true and he's a, you know, real bad guy and does all this stuff, what my first thoughts these days are, what happened to him? Why did he do that?
That's right.
Like, is he just pure evil or did something bad happen to him? Why did he do this? Why, you know, Joey, you've said this before. What is it like, hurt people or something? I know I've heard that a million times, but I mean, that's really true. And so my big fear is we don't get anywhere. We don't actually help women that have been assaulted. We just shut down assholes.
If hurt people hurt people is true, and I'm almost positive it very much is so, then that means that every time that there is a victim and then that person's also a victim. The perpetrator is probably also a victim. I mean, that's a weird thing. Like, but you don't want that to be true. You want that to be somebody who's the only explanation is bad guy, evil. Like, that's easier.
Right.
So, for instance, I saw yesterday they released all these files on Bin Laden, and it was like, it made me feel really uncomfortable personally because it showed all the stuff that he had and was into and stuff, and it's just real normal stuff, like TV shows you'd like, some kids shows. Just, it wasn't anything weird. It was like his consumption of media was like really similar to yours or something. It was just like, oh, he liked that show too. I mean, I was like, oh, like he's in a cave hiding, watching shows that me and Osama both like. Like, that's not what I thought he wanted him to be.
That is kind of disturbing.
I don't have it in front of me. Somebody could probably pull it up, but it was disturbing stuff because it was so normal. Like, Osama bin Laden is normal, except for except for that one thing. You know, like that's hard for him to be. You don't want him to be a human. You don't want a predator to be a human, but it's I don't know.
Well, one thing that weirds me out, and this is where the real danger is. For example, let's just stick with pastors. After something comes out negative about them, is the time that they transition into victimhood, or like, oh my gosh, man, I use drugs so that I could deal with all the pressure.
Right.
But I mean, wait a minute. You're saying that the pressure was bad, and so you were weak to the pressure, and it was really against you and bad. But I mean, all that stuff is self-created in a way too. And so,
it's self-created.
My big point is, like, we are such a hidden, going back to this whole thing, like we try to live such a good, godly life or a clean, safe life that under the surface of every single person you know, when you walk into church this Sunday, when you walk into the grocery store, everybody has some nasty shit in their life or nasty thoughts or some things that they fucked up on or done terribly bad, including us right here. And we have to be more free to say that stuff and be humans and show all of that stuff, or else it's going to only get worse and worse and worse. I mean, specifically for politics and for the church, that is what I keep seeing. Like, everything's hidden until it comes out, and then, try to, fix it, hide it, correct it, say the right thing, go to
rehab. You know, that's what it's like. Everybody says, "Uh-oh, my Twitter was hacked." Whatever. No, that's the person. That's them. That does not mean that their entire life is bad or that they're horrible. Like Osama bin Laden did some really awful, fucked up shit. Now, there's some other stuff that just like you just said, it was like, wait a minute, he's a lot like me.
Yeah,
he's a human.
There's probably people that he loved, right? Cared for deeply.
Yes.
Right?
Sure. I mean, we were all just cheering that he was murdered and killed.
Bad people.
And maybe deservedly so. Deservedly so.
How do
bad
y'all
person
think we
is a weird thing. Like, I almost reject the notion of bad people or I guess bad or good people. I mean, just good people do bad things. They just, of course they do. Right. Since when does it make sense that somebody does something bad and a defense for that is, but he's a good person? Like, who cares? What is that? There is no such thing as good or bad person.
Right.
There just are the things you do, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. And there might be more bad than good. And if you want to say if 51% of things you do bad, we're going to artificially set a taxonomic bracket there and say that is a bad person because they've done 51. I mean, right. What are we even talking? Those terms mean nothing. And you should be able to move on like a quarterback with a short memory. I mean, you throw an interception, you move on.
I don't know if this is right or not, but it does seem like intention is a big deal. We call ourselves bad Christian because we say all Christians are bad, but honestly, I'm okay with like if I'm describing Toby to someone, they're just like, yeah, he seems like such a prick on the podcast, asshole, blah blah blah. Toby's a really good guy. Or, hey, I'm wondering if my daughter should date blah blah. Oh yeah, yeah, that guy's he's a really good guy. I think that someone's intentions can make
them. Do good people ever have bad intentions?
Yes, and okay. that's when that's a bad thing. But if someone for the most part has good intentions, yeah, it's a lot different. Like I think that someone that is constantly
name a bad person
to rip old ladies off of money. Okay. All right, so let's say there are people that prey on old ladies to take their money because they're not thinking correctly. That's bad intentions. That's just bad. Like that.
Well, let's use a real person. Is Hillary or Donald Trump a bad person? Are they bad people?
Maybe.
Like, what would you say, Joey? What do you think? Like, Hillary Clinton, is she bad? Bad or good to you?
I mean, I don't know, but I think there's a chance that she's a bad person.
There's another way you could define bad and good person as, again,
50%
of people are, you know, if you're on the bad half of people, then you're a bad person then. Is that the way it is? Or, you know?
No, I mean, I don't think there's...
No, but here's my point. There's a shitload of people that would say Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have been great to them, have been so nice, have given them tons of opportunity, and those people wouldn't be lying. That's the reason why we started Bad Christian. That's what Bad Christian is. There's not a bad Christian. Everybody is. The idea of bad, we didn't say that because we're bad and we cuss and drink. Oh, man, we're really, we're naughty, man. Oh, we're goofy. No, we're normal. Bad Christian is the normal thing. I mean, if anything has ever been more clear in my life is the whole point of Christianity is that we all are normal and we have this thing that we call sin, but you can call it whatever you want. You can call it weakness. You can call it addiction. You can call it the thing that gets you that you wish didn't, whatever you want to call it. And we believe that maybe there's a God that didn't want that for us, but for somehow we got here. I'm not even going to go into details or theology, but Bad Christian, that's exactly why we started this podcast. That's exactly the name that we picked because everybody is that. That calls himself a Christian ain't good at it. You're a human. If you're a human, you really aren't a good human or a bad human. You're a human trying to figure it out. Now, other people might label you as such. Like, we all label bin Laden or Trump or Hillary as bad or good or whatever we want to be.
Is bin Laden and Kevin really Spacey down with it, the same? You know, is Harvey Weinstein and bin Laden, that's one category, you know? And then me and you.
Some people would say that, but that's just that diminishes what actually
that's
is humanity.
Though.
I mean, how many people did Harvey Weinstein help make their career amazing? Right. They got super wealthy.
He probably was nice to and helped more people than he hurt. in his time here on Earth thus far.
Most right, so that, listen, does, that, listen, that doesn't make him a hero or amazing or wonderful or good. It makes him susceptible to power. He made some really poor choices. He should. There's consequences to those, and he should get in trouble
I'm
for
pretty
that.
Comfortable saying things. He's a bad guy. Like, that rolls off the tongue to me pretty naturally. I'd say, yeah, that's a bad guy.
I agree. All right, so let me throw
but
this example
at you guys.
If you
went deeper, why did he do that
right,
stuff?
But if I went deeper, I would expect to not find him to be a bad guy. If I understood him and knew him more, I would expect that I would probably change my position.
All right, let me throw this at y'all, because obviously I agree with the premise that we're all bad people, but the point that I'm trying to make is there does seem to be a distinction there. So let's take Devin Shelton, for instance.
Who is that?
Great guy.
Okay,
sweet dude.
Now, let's think of Devin Shelton at a party, even back in college when he's super immature. Take him and then compare him to the asshole frat guy that all he wants to do is slam bam, thank you ma'am, you know, have sex with someone and then talk behind
everything's
her back.
Always sex with you, anything and, bad or crazy
and then
or
and then talk behind
Joey Spencer
and then talk behind her back like she's this slut that just gives it up. Like, we know those guys,
like
that's
Devin
not,
guys like Devin
that's no, that's different than Devin.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's just a difference. There are certain people that y'all would not let babysit your kids. Right. And when it comes down to it, you could probably get away with, well, I mean, you're just a really horrible person.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, the thing is, are we super shocked? Like, I'm not super shocked that Mark Driscoll ended and blew up Mars Hill Church. Like that shouldn't be shocking to us. That, I mean, obviously it was coming, and everybody probably got a whiff of it, and it was really weird, and people were saying some stuff, but we just wanted to be blind to it. You want to be blind to Anthony Weiner sending, you know, illicit text messages to girls and women and all. Like, you want to be blind that Harvey Weinstein helped so many people, and so maybe the other stuff, like, we all want that, but that is the norm. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's not, it's not like all of a sudden there's Oprah and she's the best, most cleanest, best human in the history of the world. And no, there's some shit in her life. There's some shit in my life. Like, I mean, why are we so shocked and hidden about this stuff? And the reason why is because as soon as stuff like this comes out, we're able to get a little bit of power ourselves and say really negative, bad things and make that person just seem awful.
Yeah, bad
and
person
terrible,
is a weird
and that's
one.
That's just the way it is.
You know, take this. Next time you get into a scuffle with somebody in public or a stranger, get real, real serious and look at the person calmly and explain to them that they are a bad person. And I promise you that is a profoundly deeper insult than you motherfucker you know, piece of shit, whatever
right.
you could say. I
You're
promise
right.
you. I've seen it done. I've not done it. I intend to do it if I ever really want to. That one or the one where I tell somebody if I ever get next time I get in a scuffle in public, I'm going to tell them, explain to them calmly that they're a bad person, or I will tell them, you're talking to the wrong person because nothing you say or do is going to matter to me because you're not important and I don't care about you. Those are the two things that can really bother people, and that shows you where people's priorities and stuff are. But cussing somebody out or yelling at them or calling them a real bad name, that's not even as bad. So that for something about that bad person thing, it's a huge, huge trigger, and it's really weird.
It goes back to all of the times we've said that being nice, how important, how much leverage and clout you have from being nice or whatever. But, like, just take Kevin Spacey. Last week, how many people were talking about how shitty Kevin Spacey is and how fucking terrible he is and he should be done off House of Cards? They, you know, they suspended House of Cards and all stuff. Nobody was saying that stuff, and he still was that guy. He was that guy last week and now this week. And so the only thing that's changed is public perception. Kevin Spacey is still either fucked up or not fucked up. I don't know. Maybe the people that have brought allegations against him aren't telling the truth. I don't even know. That's the thing. Like take just Kevin Spacey, even Harvey Weinstein, even him alone. A bunch of people have said stuff. I don't know the guy. I don't know them. I don't know anything about them. The only way that it's even possible is the internet has made people, everybody, potentially famous at any moment in time in the history. Right now, at any moment, any person on Earth could be famous at any moment.
By the end of the day. That's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
by the end of the day. It's really crazy. But, like, nobody cared at all until they cared. And that means it's not true. So it means it's not totally true. Like, well, are you really offended by Kevin Spacey? Or are you, like, that whole idea? Like, what is that? Because
I think
I
have it
solved. I love the show.
I got the answers.
I love the show House of Cards, and I was not offended at all, and now I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to be? Wait, am I? Wait, don't I get a moment to figure out, am I supposed to be offended or horrified at this guy? Like, I don't even have that time. You pick a side immediately. Now, like, 1 week, dude's awesome. He's so funny. People are doing impressions of him. He's hilarious, great actor. Oh, wait, now I have to hate him. Do I? Wait, I don't even know. I don't even have time to decide which is right.
Yeah, so this is a short. I figured it out. I can solve the culture to everybody. The problem is that, like you just said, anybody could be anything. Like, there's a huge problem with you have access and knowledge and interaction with hundreds of thousands and millions of people is all possible versus you live in a small tribe of 100 people. And if there are 100 people and you can identify the bad people, that's what we're kind of evolved for. And that's powerful and important to know. If Kevin Spacey lived in your neighborhood and was in charge of the grain, you don't send your daughter or I guess son to Kevin Spacey, right? Now you need to know something. You don't need to know shit about Kevin Spacey. Who cares? It's the same kind of thing, and it's super misdirected because you'd also haven't been around him at a cocktail party or at the Harvest Festival that year or whatever it is. So you don't have, like, you have a certain kind of information and not the other kind of information, and it's super, we're just not designed to be able to calculate this. So you get all these weird things where, of course, if it was in your household or in your neighborhood or on your block, you have to identify the worst people or the bad people. Like, it will matter to you. So you have a very strong instinct to identify danger at all, but it doesn't apply to somebody who lives in California.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. And we're all culpable. Like Joey's used this, kept it vague. What about the guy that, Devin's the good guy, but this guy is the guy that, you know, calls a girl a slut and just wants to sleep with her and all stuff. We all knew guys like that in college.
And some of them are okay now. And those guys are okay.
None of us
now,
at the time did a damn thing about it. We didn't stop those guys or take a stand. No males or females took a stand. That guy got to be a dipshit or the girl got to be an asshole or whatever it is because they just, nobody gave a shit, or it wasn't that serious. Maybe it wasn't that serious. Maybe it was. I don't even know. But, like, now everything has such intent. Like, if I don't take a stance on Kevin Spacey, maybe I'm really wrong.
You're the bad.
And I can't spend my time on that is what's driving me insane or driving this culture insane. That's what's really crazy. It's like, I mean, we have to stay away from stuff like that. Like, I mean, whoever Kevin Spacey hurt, if he did, which I don't even know. I don't know any of the details or anything. Those are the people that have to stop him and figure it out. And then we all need to support them when it's proven to be true or whatever. But, like, it doesn't even, in my actual daily life, has no effect on me. I don't ever, I'm never going to interact with Kevin Spacey or Brad Pitt or anybody.
Yeah. It's all distracting.
And it dilutes everything
we can control that does matter. That's the saddest part of it all, is everybody's caught up in this treat. I'm going to tweet something against Trump and it should matter. Well, guess what? It won't matter to anybody. And now you've wasted your time that you could have spent on something that could matter to you. So
let me ask y'all this about Perry. Let me ask y'all this about Perry Noble. Given that, given the amount of publicity that he has, the amount of follow that he has, what would be better right now for him to keep everybody updated with what's going on, but do it in a very, I'm not making excuses. I'm also not going to start a church. I am really messed up and I'm trying to get help. Here's the sorts of things that I'm making mistakes. I'm not blaming anybody. This is all about me. And basically, almost like video journaling how crappy he is and the process that he's in. Or go away completely.
Well,
I think a lot of times
you could do either one well, is what I would say.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times we say, man, they should just go away for a while, but maybe ideal situation is, I've got this following. I have to keep doing it. Now, I know a lot of people would accuse them of, you're trying to use this to your advantage, or they're just like, what would we do? What would we do if Matt lost his cool, which I'm not sure if that's possible, but lost his cool with Bridget, hit her, got in big trouble, spent a couple nights in jail. Would we just keep going as normal and just talk about it and maybe get some laughs, or have a really serious episode on how Matt really screwed up I mean,
you do both. That's what. But you do both. That's what happens in normal life.
Right.
Like when somebody dies, you are super sad, and also you get to make a joke about one time their pants fell down in a public place. Like you get to do both. Everything isn't left or right, black and white.
So
red
what would
or blue.
You love for Perry to do?
It's just
what would
it's you? Not, here's what would I would you? Actually, if I actually had my way, I don't think at all he should be a part of a church. And since that is his entire career, leadership in a church, I guess.
Yeah, you're not saying excommunication.
Right, right.
Yes, first of all, exactly he should be excommunicated.
No. He should fully be able to go to a church and be a part of a church. I think I would be totally fine with New Spring doing some kind of pension or whatever and like, holy shit, man, that guy worked his ass off. And now what is he going to do now? So help him until he gets a real job and gets off his feet, like a pastor welfare, if you will. Like, and because I do believe making a living and trying to figure out how to support your family and provide for your family is one of the worst parts about professional ministry. Like that's why so many people get into fucking real bad trouble, because it's their career. And if they say the wrong thing, or if they come out of the closet, or if they, admit to something that they are doing or want to do or believe now, they can't even say it or do it. So they hide it until it explodes. And then they're completely alone. Right now, this is the thing that makes me the most sad. Perry Noble's completely alone. He's lost everything. Lost his church. Lost his wife.
Yeah.
I don't know what his family's going to look like. It's not.
Yeah, I'm not mad. It's not at like him. I don't wish anything
thing.
Other
no,
than
no,
the
no,
sad.
No,
I agree.
No way am I mad at. The least thing I am is mad at him. The number one thing is I want is like freedom. He doesn't have it, and I don't even know. So now he's ostracized or put out or whatever it might be, and so there isn't anywhere to go for a pastor. It's either get back up as soon as you can so you can make money or get power back or start your rejuvenate your career or whatever it is. But so now he's just alone and trying to figure out what to do. So yeah. What would you do?
Like, look at it this way.
I am genuinely worried about him. I am genuinely
right. So the only criticism you have for these guys like this is, and there's a long list of these people, the problem you have is, I'm not even meaning it as criticism, but you're just doing the same thing again. Like you didn't, like it took a long way for you to become who you were and the way that you are, and now you're still doing that.
Right.
You're just going to do the same thing again. And then you have to care when you think it may involve other people. If you could foresee harm it will have on future people. Like, the guy that gets divorced 3 times and talks about how shitty those women were. I mean, and then he wants to date your sister. Okay, well, you know what's going to happen, right? So that's sad. That's all it is.
100%. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't like the idea of fallen pastors. I just like the idea of they're still, like, do believe if Perry Noble ever was a pastor, he still is. Like, I'm not even, we are not against pastors being influential in churches, but that pulpit, for whatever it is hidden and scary and dangerous, and nobody wants to talk about it, and they just end up being the hero, and that's what's really crazy. Like, I mean, let's move in. I got a good news article here. Can we go into a quick news article?
Knock it out.
In a world where you don't know how to say it, so you use your bit called the damn news to tell the world that Pastor Joey Svensson has been cheating on his wife for years and years and years with a guy named Bill. This is the damn news.
Hey man, are you serious?
You just admit it. You and Bill have been together for 9 years. Just Matt, you know it too. This is what I'm talking about. Joey, you're a pastor, and you've been with Bill for nine years. Just stop the bullshit. Just admit it.
How'd y'all know this?
There's never been a Priscilla. There's never been a Priscilla. Why would you forced us to make up this woman named Priscilla? She never existed. There's always been Bill, and Bill's hella cool.
I love
Bill.
Get to your news story.
If you won't tell the truth, I will. It's the damn news.
Punk ass bitch. Get to your news story. You heard what I said. Do what I
Bill,
say right
Bill,
now.
Bill, I love you, and I'm tired of you being hidden by this asshole.
Get to the news story right now.
Our news tonight comes from Independent
Thank
Mail.
You.
And guess who sent it in? Pastor Liar, Joey Smith.
Did I really?
New spring attendance down as church reinvents itself a year after split with founder. Attendance at New Spring has been down in the year since the split. Church leaders Friday told the congregation that giving is also down, but by cutting expenses and making other changes, the church also went from having $6.5 million in the bank a year ago to $15 million now. So they've made some changes. That means that the days of the free t-shirt giveaways costing the church $300,000 a year are probably done. More people would focus on those weeks rather than on weeks devoted to salvation. The church will now look to other measures like doubling of the number of people visiting small groups. Visiting small groups may have a longer-term benefit, said Reverend Michael Mulliken, the pastor of the administration and finances. They got that guy out. The administration and finances dude, they send him out for this tough stuff. The leader said they tried several times to talk to Noble, Perry Noble that is, relying on Bible passages that call for a pastor to first be counseled one-on-one, then with a small group, and finally before the congregation. Noble was fired a year ago for issues including alcohol and his stance toward his marriage, leader said at the time. The Reverend Clayton King, one of the pastors who stepped up to leading the role after Noble's departure, said he had tried in vain to reach out to Noble. He said, while Noble continued to preach elsewhere, New Spring leaders have not seen enough of a change to allow him back. This does not and never will mean that imperfect people aren't welcome at New Spring. And it goes on to say some more. But that's really interesting. So their stance is New Spring is saying he shouldn't be preaching, but other people are saying he should be. Yeah. And so Perry Noble is preaching or teaching or doing stuff, and they gave serious reasons why. They said alcohol and his marriage, and they said that they tried to do the right things, but Perry Noble, who people trust, obviously disagrees. So here is what is all crazy. There's some truth in the middle. The church, New Spring, wanted him out and whatever, and Perry Noble maybe did some stuff, but also screwed up. And so the truth is in the middle. But now a whole church with a group of people and Christians is saying, yeah, that guy can't preach here. But the rest of the world says, yeah, he can preach here or something, like, because he's preached at Elevation with Stephen Furtick. So Stephen Furtick thinks he should preach. Stephen Furtick is backing this guy. So if you're a Christian looking to your leaders, what are you supposed to believe? What is true? And the truth is, they're all fucked up and all messing up and not telling completely the truth, or somebody is really lying. So yeah, because this spring,
wouldn't it be safe to say,
is it Perry Noble? Are they real liars and bad people?
Yeah, wouldn't it be safe to say that? And I don't even mean this as a cut down. Perry Noble hasn't really changed that much in the past couple of years, even if he started to abuse alcohol and kind of be a deadbeat husband in the past couple of years. Yeah. He had the potential of doing this. So isn't it all, hasn't Perry Noble always been Perry Noble?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So the things that people think are terrible and bad and evil about him are also the things that helped him become one of the most influential pastors in South Carolina, maybe America, maybe the world. I don't know.
Right.
So
it takes your whole life to become the way that you are. It's not easy. Right. You don't just change it.
And is anybody here, Joey or Matt, is Perry Noble the bad guy?
No.
Is he the victim?
He's not. Everybody's,
he might not be either. Or he's
both. I mean, everybody's some portion of those, mixture of those things. I mean, it's weird. It's like, that's what I say about the show SVU, the Law and Order SVU. I cannot believe that show because, and I love that show, but I watch it the right way and everybody else watches it the wrong way. Everybody loves that show and it is successful because I am so glad I'm not like those crazy pedophiles. They are so bad. And now I don't have to think about me being bad because that is so foreign and it is so bad. Whew, aren't we glad we're not like that, honey? Now we don't have to think about what's wrong with us. That's why people like the show SVU. Because they certainly don't like it because they like to see pedophiles and like to think about what happens to victims. I mean, there's not that. So the only thing left is there's only two ways to watch it. You either watch it and go, wow, the world is dark. I identify with that.
Yeah.
I am like that. I have darkness. Wow, what a sobering thing to watch, which is how I watch Law & Order SVU. But I'm telling you, the reason it's successful and almost everybody else that watches it the wrong way, which is, whew, Sally, aren't you glad we're not like that? Let's get them. I wish they'd put those people on an island forever and chop their heads off and torture them. I mean, that's not the right way to watch that show. It's not the right way to think of the world.
Totally. And then on a totally different tangent that just makes me lose my mind is it takes a pastor's life falling apart to realize, let's don't make t-shirts. Let's spend money appropriately. Like, seriously, like, that's what it took. Anybody in their right mind could have said, hey, let's lay off that shit and spend money appropriately. But that's what it took. Come on.
Did nobody raise their hand on that budget item? Like, you see the disaster over in wherever it is lately? I mean, or keep on with the $300,000 t-shirt budget.
I mean, stuff like that just blows my mind. Does every pastor life have to fall apart and they have to lose attendance to go, wait a minute, let's cut back. And now we have millions of dollars bonus.
That means
because they cut back.
Somebody in that organization was the last person still fighting to keep the t-shirts, though.
I know.
Like, oh, God, can't we cut? Surely we can cut something else.
Come on. The kids. The kids need the t-shirts. All right, one last story here. And tell me if y'all think this lady's man. This comes from yahoo.com. A mother in Wisconsin is facing a felony charge of recklessly endangering safety after she allegedly strapped her 9-year-old son to the top of a minivan on top of a plastic pool. Amber Schmunk, 28, of Fredonia, was charged earlier this month for the September 9th incident, which started after officers received a call reporting a child on top of a vehicle holding down a plastic pool, according to the Ozuki Press. A witness later reported seeing Schmunk pull over and take the child off the minivan roof and wedge the pool inside the vehicle before dropping it off at her sister's house. Now, how evil is this lady? She just pure evil. She just terrible.
I don't understand the details.
Here's what it is.
Was it a punishment?
Nope. No. She took the pool, strapped it on top of the roof, and it was probably flapping around. She was like, hey,
get up there and
Billy,
make sure it doesn't fall off.
Get up there and hold that thing. I won't drive fast. Hold on. And, you know, just like, I mean, how many times? I remember there are tons of times where I hopped in the back of a truck, the bed of a truck. Did a donut or squirreled around. I laughed. I mean, it was just like this woman made a really bad decision. She's really dumb and really awful. But in her mind, it must have seemed right. Yeah, like she didn't think she was endangering her kid. She thought, oh, we got to get the pool to my sister's.
I think she had a lot of respect for the responsibility of that young man.
And his grip. She thought, hell, I can't believe it. Man.
That's right.
My God, he can hold on to anything. So,
yeah.
Well, so she said he was only on top for about 20 to 30 seconds. So she learned. I better not do this.
I blame Teen Wolf, the movie. And
exactly. Know. Roof surfing.
That's right.
That's the way it goes.
That's the 80s comedies. Think about that. To tie all the way back to all the stuff we said in the beginning of the episode. In 80s movies, they did insane physical things that were like violent. Yes. But you knew it was wacky. I watched Addams Family 2. And they took over on because it's a Halloween movie. And they took over the camp they were at and like tied down adults and put them over fires. And like, I mean, just you bonk people on the head and knock them out. So, I mean, tons of stuff that's assault and all sorts of stuff. But, you know, this lady, this is an example of somebody not getting those things straight. So I guess it does happen.
I'll tell you what's crazy is I was watching a documentary on the 70s and they were showing clips of All in the Family with Archie Bunker, which is a groundbreaking sitcom at the time. They show a clip of him saying the N word for African Americans and the F word for the gay community. I mean, I'm watching this, and even though I know it's an old show, I'm like, I cannot believe that. Yeah. I mean, it was just so outside of my realm of experience
But that's a good example because that was a bad thing. Even then, he was playing the character of what a bad person is like. Now, he was likable and stuff too, but that's the complexity of what the world's really like. There's tons of people who say those words today that might be charming and fun, and some people love them, and they can be decent people and do that, and that's really difficult, but it is true. But in that case, Archie Bunker was playing a character that wouldn't do those things. Like, the real Carol O'Connor probably found that behavior reprehensible, yet he portrayed it. and we knew about it, and people had enough ability to go, oh, bad things are bad, and you can know about them. I mean, there's something to that, at least.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, well, thebcclub.com, you can go there right now and join these people that I'm about to read as these folks. They get an extra podcast episode as well as access to a large community of Bad Christian listeners all around the world that hang out, talk, and they make other groups such as BC Locker Room where guys just go in there and talk filthy. I think there's a women's version of that. There's actually a BC Dating Club. Holy cow. So in addition to that, some of these folks, let me just put it to you like this. Some folks that are in the BC Club, not only do they get a shirt, sweatshirt, and that sort of thing sent to them, but every single release that comes out on BC Music, they get digital and a hard copy. Again, at some levels, they get it all. So there's some perks there, but most of these people are part of the club because they want to support us, and we appreciate it, including these people: Kayla Brewster, Charles Benjamin Pelfrey, Lucas Meyer, Tim Jarr, Teague Eshelman, Seth Fallenkamp, DYKYB, all in caps, Benjamin P. Steiner, Jamie Rowe, and Ivy Lee Trump. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Joining.
You say Trump? Somebody's last name's Trump?
There are other Trumps besides Donald.
What was the name?
Ivy Lee.
Ivy Lee Trump.
Yeah. Are you thinking that it's supposed to be a joke?
No. I was just wondering. I don't know. I don't think it's a joke, but I didn't know if the first name was like something funny, but it wasn't. So,
I mean, maybe
there are other people named Trump.
Yeah, maybe you can stop talking about this person because she gets it enough, I'm sure. Everywhere she goes, oh, last name's Trump. How's your uncle? How's grandpa? What's it like being married to Donald Trump? You know she gets that all the time.
Your impression of other people is always just spot on, man. That's exactly how other people sound.
Yeah.
They always sound like that.
Toby's mom came up to me one time and said, oh, my son's crazy. I don't see how you're friends with him.
Can you do a Kevin Spacey?
Who? Are you talking to me?
Yeah. You're Kevin Spacey spot on. Go for it.
Yeah. I'm going after Carl Lee. You think you're going to shoot a couple white guys in a courtroom and get away with it? Time to Kill. That's the movie I was in.
That's do Kevin Brad Spacey. Do Brad Pitt from Seven.
Okay. You're going to put my wife's head in a box, you son of a bitch.
And he does. I mean, he does all the presidents. I mean, what was Obama like?
Oh, Obama! My gosh! I mean, look at me! I just changed history. Oh wait! Ronald Reagan.
It's too bad.
You're gonna shoot me. You're not gonna keep me down. Tried to assassinate me.
It's too bad Hillary didn't get elected because your Hillary would have come in. I mean, it's great.
Hers would have been a lot different. Oh, you're going to blame me for messing up my other people's emails?
It's genius. It's unbelievable. You chose the wrong career, my friend.
What's up, guys? This is Devin from Emory. I just wanted to let you know that we have a new track available right now on Spotify. It's our reimagined version of A Story About a Man with a Bad Heart, one of our favorite tracks from our album I'm Only a Man. Go follow us on Spotify to get all of these new singles that are coming out. And don't forget, our full album will be available anywhere and everywhere on November 17th. Revival, classics reimagined.
You've been listening to the Jabberjaw Podcast Network, jabberjawmedia.com.